gifts for all. Genesis 24, verses 52 and 53. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. For the second time in this narrative, Eliezer bowed to the earth and worshipped Elohim. Eliezer believed in the God of Abraham. He had seen the wonderful miracles that God had performed for Abraham in answer to prayer. Eliezer had overseen the preparation of the meal when God had appeared to him as three men as he sat in the door of the tent in the plains of Mamre. He knew also how God had appeared to Abraham in a wondrous vision and promised to give him a son. Eliezer was also present when with only 300 of his servants, Abraham had defeated 5 warring kings and their armies and had saved his nephew Lot. Added to that, Eliezer had witnessed how the mighty Elohim had burned the whole city of Sodom with fire from heaven, and only Abraham's nephew Lot was saved through the prayers of Abraham and the intervention of an angel of God. Yes, Eliezer believed in God and in prayer and was a true worshiper of Abraham's God. He was very conscious that the God of Abraham had sent his angel to guide, protect, and help him in his journey. He recognized the intervention of God in this espousal and gave to him the praise and worship and gratitude from his heart. Eliezer was overwhelmed at the remarkable answers to his prayer, and his heart overflowed with gratitude for the angel's help. Then and there, before the family of Rebekah, he bowed and worshipped his God. Laban and his family worshipped other gods, but that made no difference to Eliezer. He would be true to and testify of the God that had so wondrously intervened in his behalf and given to him that lovely maiden, Rebekah, for Isaac. After he had taken time to worship, Eliezer called his servants, who are a type of the angels, and bid them bring to him the richly loaded packs the 10 camels carried. The camels' backs had not been unburdened through that long journey from Hebron. They had been heavily loaded with precious things from the stores of Abraham. Opening the camel packs, Eliezer began to draw out beautiful objects of art, fashioned in silver. Silver was the chief metal of commerce in that day, and silver coins were the highest denomination of money used in trade. Because silver is a metal that takes a high polish, it was often used to make mirrors. The silversmith was considered a high craftsman of honor, and the works of art made by silver were precious and costly. Silver, in Bible typology, is a symbol of redemption, and the only money acceptable for the redemption of slaves or possessions. A half shekel of silver was a yearly tax that every man was required to pay into the tabernacle treasury. That silver tax signified that he too had been redeemed by God when they were in slavery to the Egyptians in the time of Moses. First, Eliezer gave to Rebekah works of art made of silver. They were superbly crafted, so much so that they were considered to be jewels. These silver jewels redeemed her from the captivity of her family, her gods, her friends, and her possession, things that had claimed her as belonging to them up to this time. Therefore, Eliezer chose the jewels of silver, the redemption price, as the first gift to give to her. She was redeemed. She was now free from all her former bondages. She could now choose to follow Eliezer all the way to Isaac's tent. Next, Eliezer opened the second pack and drew out of it jewels of gold, the royal metal, the metal of kings. Gold in the Bible typifies the nature of God. It is a metal that never corrodes and never tarnishes. It is the one major metal that is beyond corruption. Therefore, it was fitting that Eliezer, type of the Holy Spirit, should give to Rebekah the most costly gifts made of gold. This signified that, having been redeemed from her former captivity, she was now given by the Holy Spirit to come into the royal family of God and to partake of the divine nature for the rest of her life. She would be adopted by marriage into the family and inheritance of Abraham. She would no longer be known as a sister of Laban, but as the wife of Isaac and the daughter-in-law of Abraham. Eliezer gave her precious jewels of gold beyond price, especially chosen for her from his master's treasury. Things beyond price that could not be purchased for money, but only received as a gift, brought to her by grace on the backs of the lowly camels that she had watered. Gifts that were unnamed but precious and wonderful beyond her highest fancies. Never in her highest dreams had she experienced such joy and wonder as Eliezer lavishly poured out at her feet the golden tokens of love from the father of Isaac. Then Eliezer produced another pack and took from it robes and gowns, a brocade of the finest weave, soft white cotton of the sheerest weight, robes and garments fit for a queen, raiment so costly that Laban could not afford to buy even one such an article in the marketplace. There were rich, beautiful brocade garments made of needlework interwoven and embroidered with threads of gold and silver. Humans wear clothes to cover the body, and they are the outward show to all the world of the person that resides within. Garments in Scripture represent the outward actions with which humans cover their outer lives for the eyes of men to see. These beautiful garments represented that her outward actions would be changed and made much more beautiful than what she had ever worn before. They would shine more brilliantly than silk in the sunlight, reflecting the light of faith and hope and the shining love that were ablaze in her young heart. John the Revelator, speaking of the bride of the Lamb, the Son of God, writes in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 8, "And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Then the other packs were opened, and wondrous gifts of silver, gold, and fine raiment were given to Laban, Rebekah's brother, and to her mother, the mother that had loved, cared for, and raised Rebekah in an ambient of gracious kindness, the mother that had given her the nurturing and training that made her ready for her glorious future. What a day of rejoicing reigned in that household. The long years her mother and brother had invested their time, labor, and love in Rebekah were bringing to them a rich reward. They were not forgotten, nor their labor unrewarded. Eliezer had long before planned and chosen these beautiful gifts as a reward, unsought, to the family of the bride. For they too had been a large part of the reason that she had been prepared for this day. Eliezer found Mama's daughter and Laban's sister to be the finest jewel of all. She was more precious than gold, more beautiful than rubies, more pure than diamonds, and more lustrous than pearls. He was thankful that he had found the finest jewel of all and would treasure it and carry it to Isaac without fear or shame. He had found a pearl of great price for his master's son. Because Eliezer, the chief steward of Abraham, is a type of the Holy Spirit, his giving of his gifts to Rebekah, Laban, and her mother is a type of the gifts of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit gives to the bride and the church. She was given first the gifts of betrothal and apprehension when the lovely maiden had proved that her character and personality were even more beautiful than her fair face. When she manifested to her family the golden beauty of the jewels of her love and betrothal given to her by the Holy Spirit, they were convinced of the blessings and reality of the Holy Spirit. They quickly and deeply desired to meet and have the presence of that one in their home and lives also. When Laban saw the rich blessings given to Rebekah and heard her testimony, Laban ran to welcome and invite Eliezer to come and stay in his home. He would see to it that there was abundant room and provender enough, and they would take care of them as long as they would stay. Little did they know that when Eliezer entered their home, he brought with him riches of silver, gold, and fine raiment for them all. The Holy Spirit comes laden with riches, brought by the angels from the throne of grace. Riches from the treasury of Abraham for the bride's espousal, brought by the 10 camels of grace to change the bride's ordinary apparel into garments far more beautiful. He changed her raiment of goodness into linen clean and white, her pewter jewels of adornment into redemption silver, her emptiness in Nahor to earrings of love in Hebron, her inherited nature of clay into gold divine, and her freedom into the golden apprehension of marriage. The psalmist wrote in Psalms 45 and verse 13-14, "The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of crafted gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework." Isaiah the prophet wrote of these rich gifts in his book, in Isaiah 61, verse 3, "To give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Eliezer brought blessings so rich into the house of Laban that he was enabled to become the most prosperous man in Nahor, so much so that years later, when Jacob was sent to Nahor by his father Isaac to find a bride, he found Laban to be a very wealthy landowner with many servants and much livestock. When Eliezer, the Holy Spirit, comes into the household of Laban, the church, he comes not empty-handed. When the Holy Spirit enters into the life of a believer, that life will be changed forever. Gifts and blessings and wondrously rich changes will always be the result of his coming. He will transform the spotted raiment of human goodness into the white raiment of Christ's righteousness. When he enters the house, the poor, tarnished nature of the bride inherited from Adam will be interwoven with the gold of the divine nature by the Spirit's power of regeneration. He will adorn the empty futility of life on earth with the shining glory of the golden earring of love's hope and the golden bracelet of the unbreakable covenant of marriage to Isaac. Isaac, prince of the kingdom of light and son of the everlasting Father, and whose newest name is Jesus. Will you go with this man? Genesis 24, verse 58. Then they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." There are times in life when an exceptional opportunity waits at the door of decision. Usually, it comes disguised as just the action or incident of the moment. but may involve the whole future of one's life. Just a turn in the road, or the choice of another road, may be all that it takes to enter through that door or close it forever. The choice that is made will reveal the true desires and condition of the heart. All decisions involve risks of circumstances, happenings, and challenges, all unforeseen when the choice is made. These risks cannot influence the decision because they are hidden in the dark mist of the future and are inscribed in the list of the unknowns. Nevertheless, they must be considered in the decision because they are all true possibilities. Many people refuse to open the door of opportunity because of the threats and fears of those scary unknowns and the menacing demons inhabiting the impenetrable future. The human mind has a strange faculty of dredging up frightening scenes out of the darkness of tomorrow, because tomorrow hides from view the path of opportunity. Mountains too high to climb, rivers too wide to swim, deserts too dry to cross, and battles impossible to win, all show brightly on the screen of the imagination as deterrents to the decision to open that door. The fright-filled question of what if hammers at the mind. Then follows all kinds of suggestions and even absurd threats of circumstances that will surely arise to bring the venture to failure. Instead of an opportunity, it will surely prove to be the road to destruction. He that stands at the door of decision must have courage and faith, and also have the willingness to take the risk of pain, struggle, challenge, and failure. He must have the conviction that the offer is worth the risk, and that courage is better than cowardice, and that faith will triumph even over failure. He must believe that it is better to try and fail than never to try at all.